allow this thing to be watered down. And don't tell me you're an apostle, and yet God admires that. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. So you've been faithful. Nevertheless, I have somewhat. I love what you're doing. I love who you are and what you stand for. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing, your touch upon the word of God. Let the fire come down, God. Let it be alive in this place. And we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, this morning, God showed me that I needed to use an illustration that I've used a number of years ago. Some of you have heard it, and this is a very embarrassing story, so if you would not repeat it to anybody, it's sad. And if you need Kleenex, there are some boxes up front. Years ago, it was late in the afternoon, and the closet pole in our closet fell down, and all of my dress suits and shirts all fell on the floor. And I knew, now there's going to be a lot of work. First, I have to reattach the pole, and then I have to pick up all of the clothes that are on the floor. But what it revealed is that there was a door to the attic that we hadn't gone through in a lot of years. And years ago, we just stuffed a whole bunch of stuff back there that we weren't going to use for a long time. And so my wife decided, let's open that door and see what's in there. I said, you really want to do that? You know, you don't know who's living in there. But in the corner, there was this great big bag. And in the bag, somehow, my wife had saved all of the love letters that I had sent her. In high school, we had a special way of folding those letters and sneaking it to each other while we passed in the hallways between classes. And then, yeah, I know. And then when I went into the Army, when I went into basic training, every day I wrote her a letter, hoping that every day I would get a letter back. It was before emails, before that stuff flew through the air. This was just the old, snail mail. And then I had to go to New York for months of training as a claims adjuster, so we were separated, and so we would write letters. And so she went into that thing, and she pulled out all of these letters, and she sat down in the bathroom starting to read them. I was not interested, and so I went to bed. And I went to bed, and about 4:30 in the morning, she's sitting on the bed, and she says, what have you done with him? The guy who wrote those letters, where is he? You know, accusing me, you know. And she began to describe this almost fictional character with nauseating details of how romantic he was and passionate and caring and thoughtful. And by this time, I was sure that she had married the wrong guy. Or maybe she had got into a box of letters misplaced by Casanova someplace, you know. So I sat down and I read a few of these letters, or so-called love letters, letters that she had been carrying around for days, you know. And I couldn't believe what I was reading. Now, I know back in those days, and in fact, ever in my life, have I taken drugs. So it wasn't about I wasn't in my right mind, but there was something. There was something that was causing me to act crazy, and I guess it was love. You do things and say things that are a little different when you're in love than when you're not. What my wife was saying was, thank you for providing for me and my family and your faithfulness and your hard work and being considerate and vacuuming every once in a while and stacking the dishes. Nevertheless, I have something against you. Where's the romance? Tell me how much you love me, like you used to, like you did before. When's the last time you wrote me a letter? It's so easy to let romance slip away after we get to know God, you know? And we're not telling it like we used to. We're not saying it. We're not extending ourselves like we used to. Well, I'm coming to church. I'm faithful. I've even given to the building fund, and I've done this, and I've done that. Oh, really? But where is the romance like at the very beginning when I couldn't stay away from church, when I couldn't stay away from the altar, when I told you in the middle of the day, when I said at night, I love you, Jesus. Love needs a constant revival, you see. It really does. It needs some emotion. And if you don't have the emotion, well, then I don't know. What do you really have? Would you turn to John, the 13th chapter? Verse 34. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. So what we see is this greatest book of love letters of all times has a theme in it. The theme runs from the beginning to the end. That theme is love. First, love God. And then part of that greatest commandment is love your neighbor or those that are around you. Amen. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Rules don't cause us to sacrifice. Rules won't stop evil, but love will endure to the very end. You stay with something, you sacrifice for something because of love, not because someone said, these are the rules, this is what you have to do. You see, religion, well, they major in rules, but God's church majors in love. Love touches the fabric of our soul. Love touches the heart like no other emotion will ever touch you. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear. If you're afraid of something, it's perhaps because you don't have enough love generating within you. We will never fully comprehend love until one day we see the one who has loved us. You know, billions of dollars are spent each year on fictitious romance novels. So many times when I'm waiting in an airport for the flight to take off, I'll wander into one of those book places, you know, and there's an entire section on romance, fictional romance. And there are people who are buying these books all of the time, some crying over a story that never happened. Somebody wrote out something, here's a good ending, you know, here's the end, and people are crying, oh, I can't wait to get to the next novel, it's so good, and it's just a bunch of fictitious facts that have been put in a book. They should be crying over their wasted money, not the story that is in there. And I've got this book I've been crying over for 40 years. It's real characters and real events and real love stories about sacrifice and emotion that is in this book. Letters that are personally written to me. And best of all, he wrote it before I was ever in existence, by a God that paid for this novel to be published to the entire world. The price was his life. For most of the world, it's fiction written by men. Oh, yeah, you go by that, and it's just a bunch of men who wrote books in order to confine your life. By a ghostwriter. Maybe I agree with that, you know. He is the Holy Ghost, and he is the writer. Written under an alias or a pen name, a no-name God who is incognito to hide his real identity from all those that are around him. No other author gave their life to write a story that would be published, you see. But I have a book written specifically to me by a ghostwriter. His pen name is Jesus, and he gave his life for me. People are attracted to love stories. They just love it. They want romance. You know what it is people are starving for some kind of romance, some kind of love life in them. And it doesn't have to be with a spouse. It could be with the greatest lover in the entire world who laid down his life for us. Don't be sad if you don't have a partner. You do have a partner that loves you, and you can love him. I don't know if you've seen it, but it popped up on my screen, on news, YouTube video that has had over 1 million, maybe even 2 million hits. And it's just a story of a young boy who lost his dog. And as a result, every day he would ride his bike over to the neighbor's house, put the bike down in the driveway, and there would be this black lab that's in the garage, and he would hug this black lab, you know, and then the next day he'd come back and he'd love this black lab, and the dog was wagging his tail and licking his face, and they caught him on surveillance video. And they posted it on YouTube, and I mean, people are going crazy because the love of a little boy had for a dog. They're touched by the emotion and the open display of love. I really don't remember much about that first visit to a Pentecostal church. I couldn't tell you what was preached. I couldn't even tell you what songs they sang. But what touched me was the open display of worship that people had for God. Now that impressed me. That touched me emotionally. And I had not been an emotional individual. I wasn't, but I was touched by worship. We have a lot going for us in this church, folks. We have truth. We have convictions. We have faithful people, lots of talented saints, and a beautiful building that God has given us. I haven't been in a Pentecostal church, and I'm sure there are some. But this is one gorgeous building that God gave us. He gave you money, and then we gave it to this building fund in order to have what we have. But we couldn't have it except God intervened. I know that. But what attracts people more than anything else, it's not just the preaching or our song service, but it's people. You can have a great song service, but if people aren't emotionally involved with their God, it's a love story. Every time we get together, it's people putting down what they have and getting a hold of God and getting emotional with God. And you know what? It touches the heartstrings of those who walk in here, because that's not it the way it is in other churches. The emotion of love we display to God. Why? Because people are looking for a love story that they can star in. It's not just reading about somebody else's love story. Can I get involved in that love story? Oh, absolutely. Walk to the altar and open your arms and grab a hold of a God that you can't see. And tomorrow, put it down again and open your arms and grab a God that you can't see. Not only will it touch you, but it'll touch everybody else around you. Excuse me, I'm going to church for prayer now. What? It's not Sunday. No. It's something about the emotion. Amen. You see, not a program, not a display of talent, but a demonstration, a simple demonstration of love. Amen. Calvary is that demonstration. John 15 and 3 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. Would you turn to Romans, the 5th chapter, please? Romans chapter 5, verse number 7. It says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth or exhibited his love towards us in that. Here's how he did it. We were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath or punishment through him. And so it was demonstrated, it was exhibited, his love for us on a cross. Amen. Calvary is that demonstration. Yesterday at morning prayer, a dozen people were walking back and forth here, as I do, walking back and forth and worshiping and talking to God. And it's just a wonderful time. If you've never been here, please, please consider. At any rate, Josh Gilgenbach was walking this way, you know, like this back and forth. And his wife, Haley, was walking this way. And I was sitting on the front pew for a minute looking at scripture. And as he was walking this way and she was walking that way, he just touched her shoulder. And what I saw was love, because this great big smile came on her face when her husband just reached out and touched her as she was walking by. When's the last time you smiled, when you felt that way, when God just reached out and touched you? You see, this whole deal is a love story, folks. That God hasn't finished writing yet. You're in the book. You're part of the story of what God wants to do in his church. And when other people see that kind of love, not only the love of God, but a love for other people. When somebody goes through something in this congregation and somebody says, I'll pray for you, I'll make a meal for you, is there anything I can do? I'll visit you in the hospital. It's another chapter in another love story. And you're starring in it, but the author and the finisher is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's love. Do you still feel that way when he passes by? Or is this, has it become, as the pastor said when I was watching this DVD, has it become a thing where you come to church, you put in your time, and you feel that the obligation is taken care of, but the relationship isn't like it was when you're first filled with the Holy Ghost? Nevertheless, I've somewhat against you. You've lost your emotion. You've lost. I've heard that sermon before. I've heard that. I've read that scripture before. We've sung that song so many times. Really, it doesn't matter when you're really in love. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I still remember when I got up enough courage to hold my wife's hand for the first time. I think we were married for 3 years. I remember that feeling, though. You know, some of you guys are saying, oh, I never had that kind of... You're a liar. Woo! You know? If you don't have those kind of feelings, maybe you ought to just shake yourself. and figure out what really is important in life. And it's really touching God. It really is. The love story is supposed to go on and get deeper. God said to the church of Ephesus, I know thy works and thy labors and thy patience and how you can't bear evil. I know you're doing a whole lot of good things. Oh, thank you for supporting our family. Thank you for getting up early and going to work. Thank you for cutting the grass. Thank you for doing the dishes. Thank you, God. However, where's the romance? Amen. Years ago, my wife and I drove through Sedona, Arizona, and the beauty of the Red Rock Canyons there. They have monuments of great rocks that just shoot up out of the earth. We had just been to the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon is fake. Don't go there. You know, they say it's a big hole, but it looks just like some kind of picture, you know. But when we drove through Sedona, Arizona, pillars of carved redstone shooting out of the ground, and it took about 30 minutes in order to drive through the canyon, and then the road just leveled off, and it was just an ordinary road, just like any other place in Arizona or perhaps in Wisconsin. And I felt like, let's go back and experience it all over again. Oh, man, that was just awesome. Let's go back and let's drive through it one more time. I felt like it is so awesome. I have to repeat the experience. The contrast between what I had experienced and the common road, it said something was special there. Could we experience our upper room experience and then drift away to the common road again? Or could it be just so impressive that you just want to go back and experience it one more time? Let me feel it just like I did at the very beginning. Amen. Don't ever allow it to be in the past. It was an experience that I had, and now I'm more mature and I can go on. No, that's not what God wants. That's the reason for Calvary, that he could interact with his saints over and over again. It's an intimacy. Amen. That we are privileged to, that the whole world is not, because they don't have the blood of Jesus upon them. We can get as close as we want to God. Hallelujah. We are not built to be complete in ourselves. And I know this self-adjustment and self-grandizing of who we are limits us to say, you know what, I can make myself happy without God. But you can't. You just can't. We are not built to be complete without him. We are complete in him. In him. Some people are afraid to love. You know why? Because they've been rejected in the past. Unrequited love. Nothing could hurt more than when you love somebody and you don't get that love back. And so we know what that feels like, every one of us. But could it also hurt our God when he loves us so much, but we just sit there like a bump on a log? Unrequited love, you know? Hey, I saved you. I washed you in my blood. I filled you with my spirit. And now what? You're just going to sit there? Well, I've been coming to church mostly. Sorry, nevertheless. Our world is full of fragile love. Fake love. I love cheeseburgers, really. Have you sacrificed for a cheeseburger lately? Love that abandons, love that divorces, love that is self-seeking, love that fades away and it's not what it used to be. But the love of a true worshiper is different because it comes from a heart so amazed by God that it cannot be extinguished. I'm so amazed by, you know, I can I can tell you that when I feel the presence of God so strong, I'm thinking, are you sure you got the right guy? Are you sure this love letter is for me? Are you sure that you're touching me, that you made a mistake with somebody a little more spiritual, somebody who is a little more faithful, more dedicated? Are you sure? And then I feel the touch of God again, and I feel so unworthy, so amazed by God that it cannot ever be extinguished by some rude individual, by something that has happened in my life that was unfair. It will not allow itself to be quenched. It refuses to be dampened and discouraged and distracted by anything else because of the amazing love story. For we are the true worshipers of God, not just fair weather worshipers. Everything is going right. I'm going to worship my heart out. But the fact of the matter is, most of us find ourselves worshiping God more when everything isn't going right. And I wonder sometimes when people will not worship God, if God has to somehow interject some problems within our life in order to get the emotion back to Him that He really desires. This would be a great place for an amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you turn to the Song of Solomon? Chapter 8, verse number 6. Set me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the flood drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contempted or a lack of respect for the love. Solomon is talking about a love between us and God, a God that loves us so much that there couldn't be anything that would quench it. It is as strong as death is. Acts 16 and 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And here's what it says, and the prisoners heard them. I wonder if our praise, even during the day, thank you, Jesus, is not only for our God, but it's for those people who are around us that are touched by a little YouTube that shows a boy hugging a dog. Could that emotion somehow touch the heartstrings of somebody else around saying, hey, you got a love story going on in your life. Could I be a part of it? Where'd you get that book? Hallelujah. Has anyone heard you praising God in your dilemma? If a little boy missed his dog so much that he had to stop at his neighbor's house and give a strange dog a little touch, how much more should we want to get a daily hug from the God who loves us? Ephesians 3 and 7 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that being rooted and grounded in love. So faith comes by hearing, but it doesn't stay unless it's rooted and grounded in love. I love you, Jesus. Amen. I love you, Jesus. Amen. You know, when I got the Holy Ghost, I remember that night going home, locking the bathroom door, putting my hands up, and seeing if it works at home as well as in church, you know. But it wasn't a fluid language at first. It's just like any child that is born, they have to learn the language of the house. But I remember when I'd come to church, the first thing I'd do is I'd get to the altar and I'd start worshiping because I wanted to have that experience over and over and over again. And what it was is it took me 3 months to get the Holy Ghost because God had to teach me, first of all, how to worship Him before He would give me His Spirit. But I had to be rooted and grounded in love. And when we are rooted and grounded in love, that's when it happens. Turn to Ephesians 3 and 17. Ephesians 3 and 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, okay? So you're rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints in love what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. If you're rooted and grounded in love, now all of a sudden you're starting to understand the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You understand, when we're rooted, grounded, and rooted in love, then all of a sudden, things open up to us that would not have been open before. More than what we could ask or even think. He said, hey, I like the way you love, and I'm going to give you. But if we're just here to take care of an obligation that we have. Oh, we're standing for truth, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus called those high priests and Pharisees whitewashed sepulchres full of dead man's bones. Oh, you know the rules, but you don't know the ruler. You know the commandments, but you have nothing, no knowledge of the love of God. And that's what we all need. We need the love of God every day. Every day I need a hug. Amen. I may have lost a loved one, but I got a God that I can hug. Amen. I may have had a dilemma, but I've got a God that I can love, you see. It's the closest thing to getting a healing from our dilemma or our sorrow or our loss. Amen. That little boy knew more than most adults do, and every adult who watched that said, hey, there's something about that. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Don't let him pass by without touching him. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I told my wife when we got married, listen, I'm mostly going to come home, you know, unless there's something else going on. No, there was a commitment. I'm coming home. You can count on it. Amen. And that's part of love as well. Amen. You see. Amen. Lip service. Jesus said, well, they worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Could we have a song service and we know all of the words and sing the songs, and yet somehow we didn't touch God? Oh, God forbid. Amen. Pull out the stops. Get emotional. Amen. Get involved. Amen. It's what He's been waiting for. And then those situations that you're hoping that'll happen in the future, well, God says, more than you can ask or even think, I'm going to give you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. No good thing would he withhold from them that walk uprightly and delight themselves in God. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?